Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
All right, where's Robert today? He's upset his Raiders lost, huh?
Yes.
But oh, wow.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news in the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorto, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. And we got a great show for you today. And if you want to call and ask questions, you can call in now, 323-870-3857. Tonight, we're going to talk about Top Rank in the big lawsuit filed by Terrence Crawford alleging racial bias against Top Rank. So don't miss that. But first, we're going to get started with ESPN, Joe Smith versus Stephen Geffrard. Joe Smith wins via TKO in the ninth round over Geffrard. Listen, man, Geffrard was tough and last-minute replacement, but this fight was all Joe Smith. It was pretty much a squash match, in my opinion. Not a whole lot to say about this fight, to be honest. It was a one-way fight. Again, Geffrard was really tough. He did a good job as a late replacement. I mean, you can't fault him for that. I would like to see him again because I would like to see what he can do on a full training camp and all that other good stuff, but this was a good stay busy fight for Joe Smith. What's next? Where does Joe Smith go from here? I heard him call out Canelo. I think that fight has got a chance, but I don't know. Babe, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I think Better Beat is next, man. Another Top Rank fighter, right? It's a unification, three belts.
It's an easy fight to make, no?
Yeah.
That's an
And the crazy thing is people look at Joe Smith's performance against Bivol, and he had some problems there. It appeared to be a very bad style matchup for him because Bivol is a very good outside fighter. But not only that, he's really quick on his feet and he's got pretty quick hands. And he's solid defensively. He's really hard to hit clean. But also, too, is Bivol's another one of those types of guys who I put in the class of he uses very subtle movement. So he constantly, you know, steps around you, steps off to the side, constantly changes the angle on his opponent, forcing his opponent to reset, makes it hard for his opponent to really pin him down.
Yeah.
You know? And Joe Smith doesn't have the quickest hands and feet in the world, but he's relentless, right? And he has a good technique. He has pretty decent defense, too. Tucks his chin, always keeps his hands high, got a great jab. He throws a ton of very awkward, prolific puncher, a lot of volume, fast-paced fight, constantly moves forward. Really hard to discourage this guy. It's really hard to hurt this guy and stop him in his tracks. Better Beef is not a great outside fighter. He's more of a mid-range guy. He's not a great inside fighter either. Squares up, doesn't have quick feet, doesn't have quick hands. And as strong and powerful as he is and as devastating as he is, he's not a one-punch guy either. He's more of a clubber type guy, and he's a relentless guy too. But
strong.
They're both strong. But the thing I like about Joe Smith is Joe Smith can fight a little bit on the outside. He's got a good jab, and he can fight very well on the inside. And he throws a lot of punches, and you know he's not looking to hit the home run with every shot. He'll keep throwing a lot of shots, little softer shots to get you to react to them, block them, switch up the hand positioning, and all the while while you're moving your hands around, he's trying to create the openings for the heavier shots. So he's like pop, 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 pop. You're sitting there blocking them and focused on upstairs, and then, you know, you're lifting your elbows a little bit higher, and ram, he comes around with a looping right hand or a digging left hook to the body and changes the whole game right there, right?
Yeah.
So I think Joe Smith has a shot against Better Beef. I think he matches up very well against Better Beef. And I think he's even – they're not – both of these guys aren't the fastest guys in the world, but I think Joe Smith may be a touch faster than Better Beef. And I think he throws a lot more punches than Better Beef. And I think he's a better inside fighter. And I think if he takes that mid-range away from Better Beef and gets in his chest, right, I think Better Beef is going to have a hard time getting the shots off. So I think Joe Smith would be very live in that fight, right?
I think he's made to order for Better Beef. I really do. I think he's
a lot of people do. I think he could beat Better Beef because of the style matchup.
Listen, man, anytime you get in that ring, I think you know it's always it can always can go either way, and I agree with you there. But
something in Joe Smith that he's a come forward guy. He's not going to be able to fight on his back foot. He's going to come forward and try to press the action, and he's going to get clipped to that body. He leaves his body a little bit open for me. Better Beef is going to go to his body. Better Beef's got a good jab of his own.
I think Better Beef is more susceptible to body shots because he squares up a lot.
Well, let's see if Joe Smith works him. Because to work a body shot, you got to come in.
Joe Smith doesn't square up, and I think he's got a tight defensive construct. I think he's a better defensive fighter than Better Beef. I think Better Beef has so much faith in his power and strength that he just walks you down and tries to, you know, take your one to give
two. That's a good point.
He'll take your one to give two.
Yeah.
But see, the problem with that mentality against Joe Smith is you're not just going to get one. You're going to get blanketed. And Better Beef has a tendency sometimes to try to hit the home run. Joe Smith doesn't. And I think Joe Smith is getting better.
He really is.
Better.
We've seen him develop.
Getting better because you know
we've seen him develop. He is coming.
Yeah.
He is getting better for sure.
He said it during one of the interviews before the fight. He's like, you know, I just can't go in there and just hit home runs now. He goes, I gotta work a little finesse into my game and, you know, put my punches together and place my shots better and throw more of a variety. And, you know, I got to get more creative in there. Better Beef, I don't think, has that mentality because his mentality is, I'm going to wear you down. Whatever you throw, I can take, but you can't take what I got, and I'm just going to wear you down.
Which is dangerous. That's a dangerous thing. I mean, I say it all the time, and I know you've heard me say it. What happens when somebody's able to take your shot? Somebody is going to be able to take it.
I think Smith could take
somebody
a shot.
Somebody will.
Smith, to me, is one of the hardest guys in boxing to knock out because he's got a good chin, keeps his hands high, and he tucks his chin. And people always think that
big guy, man.
When people say good chin, I talked to this trainer, shout out to Joe Lake, because everyone thinks it's about neck muscles and being big, strong, and just, you know, being able to take shots. It's a physical thing, but it's also a conditioning thing, which is a physical thing, but not necessarily a structural physical thing. It's a conditioning thing, meaning guys who are in great shape and have good cardio, they recover quicker from damage because they're able to utilize the oxygen in their bodies better. So when you get hit in the head, your brain gets buzzed around, and in order to get your brain working again and recuperate, your brain needs that oxygen. And guys who can utilize the oxygen quicker, better, and more efficiently, they recover faster. Joe Smith's got a gas tank for days, bro. He's a phenomenally conditioned athlete. You see the type of work he's done. He's just a real well-conditioned man, you know. And I think because of his conditioning, he's able to take punishment a lot better than other fighters. And not only that, like I said, tucks his chin, keeps his hands up high, never really throws all caution into the wind, even though he's an aggressive guy. He's still bringing his hands back to his, you know, back up high, not dropping his hands, not looping and winging and leaning forward and throwing, you know, being awkward or whatever. He's a well-schooled fighter that just throws a lot of punches, and I think he's relentless. He's very strong-willed. I think it's a great fight. To me, that's the most entertaining matchup in the light heavyweight division. I think when you put those two guys together, That's a fight of the year candidate, in my opinion.
It's a very good fight, and it's a very makeable fight, and especially for the unification and
next. Everything.
That's
happening next. That's
unless
happening
Canelo
next,
steps in the fray, unless Canelo steps in the fray and says, I want one of these two guys, I would love to see that fight happen next. No questions.
Yeah.
It's a fan-friendly fight. Both guys come forward. Both guys you know, both guys, one guy's got power, one guy's, you know, they got power and volume. I mean, it's a good fight. It's a good fan-friendly fight, man. No questions. All right, guys, so that was it for the action this weekend. All right, so let me see. Was it Notorious said this? Yeah, Notorious said that you and Beeb should talk about how bad the 2022 schedule has been so far, one of the worst in years.
Okay.
My man, it is January 16th. We are only 16 days into the new year. 16 days, 2 weeks. Like you said, 2 weeks, man. Come on, man. We got to give it a somewhat of a chance here. We can't just, like, completely dump on it already, man. Only 16 days. It's a puppy. It just got started. All right, so this weekend, Atlantic City, New Jersey on Showtime, the one-year appearance of Gary Russell Jr. takes place, and he will face Mark Magsayo. We're going to talk about this here in a minute. Subriel Matias versus Petros Anayan, 12 rounds junior welterweights. Tug Stott Niambar versus Vic Pacias, 10 rounds featherweights. Evan Holyfield, also on that card. I hope they show him. I doubt they will, but I hope they do. Versus Chris Rollins. So Evan Holyfield, kind of an up-and-comer. D-Style Boxing, thank you so much, man. We appreciate it. Let's talk about this Gary Russell fight here. Gary Russell fights once a year, and this is his yearly fight, I would assume. Beeb, talk to me about this. He says that he's been ducked by all the big fighters. He's got 50,000 reasons why he doesn't fight. You know, Mark Magsayo is not a pushover. This is a live guy here in front of him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think he can upset the apple cart here?
I don't think he'll win, but it could be interesting. I don't think it'll be a walkover, but I think Gary Russell should handle it. Gary Russell's a quick guy.
Right.
He's such a good counterpuncher. He's just, Gary Russell is a very, very good fighter. I mean, you can complain, anyone can complain or criticize about how he doesn't fight a lot. You know, that's fine. There's no problem with that. But I can't take anything away from the guy's skills. He was a great amateur. He's very well schooled. Even in the Lomachenko fight, I thought he held his own. It was a very close fight. Lomachenko won the fight, but you know. He came back from that, and I think he's gotten better since then as well, too. I think all these guys, they have a chip on their shoulder. They have to use something to motivate them. You know what I mean? Like, Bernard Hopkins had that chip on his shoulder. You know, he had to believe. I think a lot of these guys psych themselves up by having this mentality that the world is against me.
Sure.
It's the system. Right, you have those guys at work that they come in and they complain every day. Oh, you know, the boss is this, the boss is that. This company sucks. Blah 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 blah. And these are the guys that come in late, come in late every day, 15, 20 minutes. These are the guys that take 3-hour lunches. These are the guys that call in sick all the time. But yet the company sucks and the boss sucks. You see what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
I think there's a lot of boxers that need that chip on their shoulder. They need to have that, you know, me against the world type mentality in order to motivate themselves. And I think Gary Russell is one of those guys, in my opinion.
Now, Gary Russell says he's largely been training himself for this fight. And his father apparently had a foot amputated. He's got diabetes.
Oh, so sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it's awful. His father was such a nice guy.
Yeah.
He's such a
nice guy,
man.
I like the whole family. Like,
they're all great.
They all seem like very, very, very good people. You know, you know what I like is they're all tight knit. They support each other. I just love that strong family bond. When I see that, you know, not only with fighters but in people in general, I admire that. I think that's great. You know.
Yeah, I think this is a good fight. I really do. I don't think it's going to be a wash. I think it's going to be a solid fight. Like I said, man, Magsayo is a live dog in this one, and
you think so?
I think so.
It's one of those fights where Magsayo is going to make Gary Russell work hard. He's going to try to push the pace here, and Gary Russell's going to try and slow it down.
Yeah.
So that's going to be the dynamic of this fight. You're going to have, you know, it's like the yin and the yang. One guy's looking to, you know, fast pace this fight. The other guy's looking to slow it down. So that's going to be like a high speed chess in itself when you think of it, right?
You're going to have to, you know, in order to beat a guy like Russell, I think you have to put a lot of pressure on him. If you're an average fighter,
you
got to
take him out of his comfort zone.
You have to.
Right?
There's no other way to do it. You have to take him out of his comfort zone. You have to make him work. This is a guy who's been off a year. I don't care how long he's been in the gym. I don't care how, you know, I know he goes to the gym, blah, blah, blah. I get it. But you've been out for a year. There's a difference between training and fight. There's just difference, you know. There's a difference there. So I'll tell you what, man, I think it's going to be a good fight. And I think that if anybody's going to take out Gary Russell, it would be right now. You know, I think he's fought how many times? Like maybe what? Once every year? I mean, really? Like the guy doesn't fight, you know? And how he doesn't get that title stripped, I'll never know. But, hey, whatever. I mean, good on him. But this is going to be a tough fight for him. It really is.
Yeah, it is. Not going to be an easy one. It's one of those fights where Gary Russell could probably win it eight rounds to four, nine rounds to three, but every round is going to be a hard-fought round. He's going to have to earn every round and work every minute of every round to win the fight.
Yeah, I agree with that. And that's it. That's it for next week. Let's see here. Looking ahead here. Jesus. This blows my mind. On the 27th in Madrid, Spain, Sergio Martinez versus Macaulay McGowan, 10 rounds middleweights. Like, that's seriously? Like, what in the world? But luckily it's not televised. And then, of course, the big one on January 29th, that's not televised, the one in Warren, Ohio, at least there's no television as of yet, Ilunga Jr. Makabu versus Tibasu Mchunu. 12 rounds for McAboo's cruiserweight title, and then Trevor Bryan. I know they picked an opponent out for him. I just don't know who it is versus the dreaded TBA. But like I said, I'm not sure who his opponent is. This one has been really lacking in promotion and everything like that. It seems like just a big hodgepodge over there at DKP. I've been talking to him this week and stuff like that, like their PR guy and stuff like that, and it's a mess to say the least. So.
Yeah, Don King Productions has kind of lost touch with Ahmad Mehra in terms of how to work social media, utilize YouTube or whatever. They're kind of have that archaic model of promoting still, you know?
It's bad. I mean, it's like, wow. I mean, you know, like when you talk to them, it's like, you know, you deal with, you know, we deal with a lot of other, you know, media guys and stuff like that, and you know, whatchamacallit, people that work the you know, for sponsors, not sponsorships, but work for the fighters and the PR people.
PR.
Thank you.
PR people. Yeah.
The PR people. And this is pretty archaic. I'll put it that way.
I don't even know who the PR person is over there anymore.
Yeah. it's a little nutty over there right now, but I think there's been a lot of change. From what I understand, there's been a lot of changes over there. So hopefully this is just a bump in the road and it'll get smoothed out in the future here.
Yeah.
Maybe if Beeb Industries, we can do PR for them, you know.
Well, you know, I have something in the works here. We're gonna...
yeah, actually, something in the works for DKP, yeah.
No, I'm not with DKP, but actually some management opportunities here at Beeb Industries. We're looking to branch out into PR.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
Talking to someone on the DL.
But it's another guy.
Of course it's another guy. I mean, why can't
you're
I do business?
Talking to guy, you're used to talking to guys on the DL.
Why
right?
can't I?
You're used to talking to guys on the DL.
When it comes to business, when I'm ready to release, when I'm ready to release my business, I'm going to be on the down low. Until the deals
what
are completed.
You like it on the down low. That's what I heard about you.
Until our deals are completed over here, again, we're not talking about, you know, the sexual aspect.
I didn't say anything about you're the one that brought that up. I'm just saying.
That's
you know.
The honey dips. That's the honey dips. You know, the honey dips take care of that. We don't have to worry about that.
All right, let's get Robert's opinion on the state of affairs here. Robert.
Good evening, guys. How are you?
Hey, what's up, Rob?
Everybody's in a bad mood. I don't understand why everybody's in a bad mood. Didn't everybody's football team win yesterday? Didn't everybody's football team win yesterday? I know the Raiders, no, they lost. And the Patriots, yeah, they lost.
They lost, yeah. But the Patriots not only lost.
Texting me.
Hey, the Patriots not only lost, they got themselves slaughtered.
Oh,
yeah, everyone's texting me, asking if I'm okay. Listen, I'm a Tampa Bay fan now.
You're a Tampa Bay fan.
Fuck the Patriots.
Well, hey,
fuck the Patriots, right?
They rolled today, man. That was easy money for them. But look, as far as Joe Smith and Better Biev is concerned, I know Joe Smith has lost three times. I know in one of those fights he suffered a broken jaw and fought nine rounds with it. But I don't correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think he's ever been knocked down and had to get back up.
Robbie, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question, Robbie.
Okay.
If you had a choice of getting knocked down or breaking your jaw, what would you take?
I would rather be put to sleep, man.
I'd rather get knocked down than break my jaw.
Exactly.
And
have
to fight, especially like, nine rounds with it. Yeah, no.
Remember
I'm not 100% sure if Joe Smith's ever been knocked down in a fight before. I don't know.
Remember, that was the fight against Barrera where he fought nine rounds with a broken jaw.
Yeah.
You know? So,
I'm not going to break your jaw, but
Yeah. But I'm wondering what would – I'm like you, Joe. I wonder what happens – when Better Biev hits him with his best shot and he doesn't go anywhere.
The thing, too, is Better Biev is not a one-punch guy.
Right.
And Joe Smith has, fights that fast pace, so.
Yeah,
I think it's an intriguing matchup.
I hope they make that fight. I really do.
Yeah.
I think it's going to happen next
because they're both top-ranked fighters.
Yeah. I've heard with all the COVID cancellations, Jesse Vargas is out of his fight now because he got COVID.
Yeah, he got COVID. Yeah. How about that? That's crazy.
So we're trying
to run Vargas down and get him on the show.
Yeah, I guess so.
He's running for Congress or something.
Yeah, he is. So February 5th will not be the first DAZN day. Then it'll be the 12th. So, hey, the boxing schedule's gotten off to a slow start, but I'm hoping it picks up soon. So, for those that are worried about the schedule,
guys, it's 16 days. We're
only
16 days.
We're only 2 weeks in. How many fights did you expect to have after 2 weeks in, bro?
Well, I expect a unification across the board.
Right.
Jesus Christ, you guys.
Come on, guys. Yeah.
And keep
positivity here.
Keep one thing in mind. I heard yesterday that the UK has shut down their boxing for all of January, so there's no UK cards either.
Old news,
right? Yeah. So, but
we knew that a month ago.
I know, but there are other people that don't pay attention to this stuff, Beeb.
Robert,
I don't want to
go on your iPhone.
Talk about it, Robert.
Robert, yeah. Go on your iPhone, right? Hit that little Safari button.
Oh, stop.
And then you'll be able to catch up on the news every now and then, all right?
I'm not worried about you. Hey, I'm not worried about me. I'm worried about people like Notorious complaining about the schedule. It's only 2 weeks old.
Who cares what that guy has to say?
Oh, stop it.
All that guy does is bitch and complain. He's worse than you.
I don't have anything to complain about, Joe. I mean, my team lost, but it doesn't do me good to complain about that.
They got smashed yesterday, Robert. They got smashed, son.
Well, telling me
Notorious BC is concerned about the schedule.
Yeah.
Go to therapy then. What the fuck am I, guidance counselor?
Like, this is a therapy session.
I don't care if he's concerned about the schedule. I got bigger things to worry about than the boxing schedule.
Yeah. Well, we all want good
these
fights.
These employees over here, Beeb Industries to take care of.
Yeah. We all want good fights, and I think we're eventually going to get them. So.
Yeah, it's going to be a good year, man. It's going to be a great year.
It's
going to
be an awesome year, man.
And,
awesome
far,
year,
and as far as Mr. Gary Russell's concerned, I don't know anything about Mark McSile, but I hope the hell he wins. The last time Gary Russell fought was 2020. He didn't fight at all last year.
Wow, that's
rough. So you want Mark McSile to win the fight?
Yeah, I want Gary Russell to lose. I'm tired of this once-a-year business.
Wow.
So let me ask you a question. If he loses, do you think he's going to just stop fighting just because he lost? Like, do you want to punish him by having him lose because he fights once a year?
No, but, Joe, if he loses his title, we won't have to wait on Gary Russell to schedule a fight. And I don't know why. I forget which organization.
So then the title won't be held hostage is what you're saying. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. And I forget which organization is responsible for giving him a title, but he should have been stripped a long time ago.
WBC?
Well, that's...
Ask yourself this, Robert.
Okay.
When was the last time the WBC? When was the last time the WBC ever stripped a champion? Can you remember?
That's a good question because ever since Suleiman Jr. has been involved, I don't think they've ever stripped a title.
First of all, his name is Mauricio. His father's name is Jose. He's not a junior. All right.
Okay.
I'm a junior. Yeah. My dad's name was Joe. I got you, Joe.
He's a junior, Robert.
Get with the program here.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's a junior, Beeb. Okay, I got it. Yeah, all right.
Beeb's a junior.
Yeah.
Suleiman's not a junior.
I know that. I know. But no, seriously.
He was fired by Jose Suleiman.
Yeah. But seriously, I don't think since... the younger Suleiman has been involved. I don't think the WBC has ever stripped the title.
When was the last time there was a heavyweight title had a mandatory?
That's been quite a while. And by speaking of, I don't know if that'll be worked out or not. But Dillian White does deserve a title shot. I don't know if the money will be worth it.
He does, but he doesn't want to take it.
When it's offered to you, then take it then. Stop trying to.
And look,
get Fort Knox money.
If you are a mandatory challenger and it goes to purse bid, you have to follow their rules.
Okay, but the rules... change daily. I mean...
Yeah, they want Dillian White to do 80-20 on that fight.
Well, and isn't the rule? I know now it's 75-25, but didn't it used to be a better split?
Listen, the split can be whatever the WBC wants it to be.
Okay,
it's that simple.
Okay,
all the rules in that WBC list of rules. You want to call it that, whatever it's called. All the rules ended at the discretion of the WBC. So what's that mean? We can change them as any time we want.
That's dumb, but okay.
Just like the rules on this show, we can change them any time we want.
That's right.
That's how we roll.
Very true.
Joe Smith looked good for the nine rounds he was in there. And let's see him fight better, Beeb. I'm looking forward to that fight. Hope they make that.
Yeah, that'd be a great fight.
There you go. All right, Robert, we're going to get rolling. Stay on the line here.
I will.
All right. Before we get to the news, Beeb.
We going to do it?
You know what time it is. Come on. You know what time it is. Some respect on their name. Ringside Reporter. One word. Go to Manscaped. Get 20% off. Cheers to 2022 and resolutions you can actually keep. How about upgrading your grooming routine for this new year? Our sponsors at Manscaped are here to make you drop the ball into 2022 with the cleanest set ever. Set your first New Year's resolution with good intentions and join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com and use the code RingsideReporter, one word, for 20% off plus free shipping. It's the new year, new me, with the global leaders in male grooming. This year, take your grooming to the next level with the Performance Package 4.0 and brand new Ultra Premium Body Wash. Inside the Performance Package 4.0, you'll find the Signature Lawnmower 4.0. This electric trimmer is designed to trim hair on loose skin. The advanced skin-safe technology reduces cuts and nicks all over. It also comes equipped with a 4,000K LED spotlight that will shine a light to the promised land 2022 looks to be. Have wild hairs coming out of those nose and ear? Well, Manscaped can solve that problem, too, with their Weed Whacker. This nose and ear hair trimmer uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system to provide proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks and snags. Polish off your new stellar routine with free gifts, including Manscaped, the Shed Travel Bag, and anti-chafing boxer briefs to keep all your goodies stored comfortably. And the new product that needs no introduction, the Ultra Premium Body Wash from Manscaped, solves all three for the perfect addition to your daily grooming routine, but in the shower. This body wash smells great, too. It's cologne-infused with aloe vera and sea salt to keep your skin feeling clean, nice, and moisturized. Kick discomfort and poor hygiene to the curb this year and use the best tools for the job. Whether your resolution is to work more or travel more, travel to new places, be sure to travel to manscaped.com for our exclusive offer of 20% off plus free shipping with the code WingsideReporter. Cheers to grooming with the best of the best in 2022. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code RingsideReporter at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code RingsideReporter. It's a new year, new me in 2022 with Manscaped. There you go. Guys, we talk about Manscaped a lot. We use the products. They're very good. We wouldn't promote them if they weren't good or we didn't use them ourselves. And if you really, really want to help out the channel, because we always call you, call for likes and everything like that. But if you really want to help the channel, go to Manscaped and buy some products, man, and use our code RingsideReporter. It helps us more than you would ever know. It really does. So
20% off is great too, man.
20% off plus free shipping, and they're fast.
Fast stuff, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, man, go pick some up, and help us out, man. Help us out. Come on, guys.
Please, guys.
Hello. Come on. All right, let's talk about the news and rumors here. The big news this week, Terrence Manny Gatillo, idiot. All right, news and rumors. Terrence Crawford sues Top Rank. Crawford suing Top Rank for racial bias. Bede, does he have a case here?
Yeah, I think he does.
Because Bob Arum promoted, Marvin Hagler, Larry Holmes, Muhammad Ali, George Foreman.
I don't think he promoted Larry Holmes. Oh, he did later. No, did he?
I think he did. Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Maybe for one.
He never really had long-term deals with those guys. Just because you have a black friend doesn't mean you can use the N-word. That's the way I look at it.
Well, sure, but
there's a lot of other components to the case, and in my opinion, I just don't think Terrence Crawford's going to walk away from this empty-handed because there's a lot of issues here, and I think Terrence Crawford's being advised, and also. Beeb Industries is 110% behind Terrence Crawford, and if he needs any additional legal support, we are offering our services here at Beeb Industries. The legal team over here will give him a free consultation if he needs it. So we're 110% behind him because we're for the fighter here.
This is a slam dunk for Top Rank, then, no? I mean,
as I said, we're for the fighter here. And enough is enough. We're not for the corporate, the corporate conglomerates here. We're not for the big guy. We're for the blue collar worker, and the fighters are the worker. These promotional companies would not be what they are without the fighters, because they're promoting the fights, and without the fighters, you can't have the fights. And the fighters give not only the fans, but they give the promoters memories too, right? because you could not have a thriller in Manila, right, without an Ali and a Frazier. So, you know, there's a lot of components here. If you look at some of this stuff, let me go on. We can look on Boxing Scene, and I know you saw it. There's like a breach of contract here.
In my opinion, the only thing that stands up in there is the $900,000 for the Errol Spence fight.
Yeah.
That is really, to me, if you look at the lawsuit and you kind of go over it, he doesn't really have too much of a chance here. You're not going to prove racial bias. You're not going to prove any of that. I don't believe it, number one. But number two, you're not going to prove any of that. The only thing you really have a case with was the $900,000 that he promised him with the Errol Spence. He said after he fought, was it Cavaluskas, that he would negotiate in good faith and try to get the Errol Spence fight. Now, that was in 2020, COVID year. So the fact that he couldn't put that fight together or really even negotiate for that fight,
well, what they did,
passed off.
What they did in this suit was they took away the 3 months that there wasn't any boxing for that year, and then they're talking about when they did start up fights afterwards. So there still was the ability to make that fight. They omitted that 3 month period where there was no boxing.
When did he fight Cavaluskas? Let me ask you this: when did he fight Cavaluskas?
The win over in October.
Because that was in 2020, no?
Yeah, October. The win over Cavaluskas was Crawford's only fight from October 13th of 2019 to October 12th of 2020. So I think that was in October.
Okay,
12th,
so he did have all year. He did have all year to negotiate.
Yeah, so
but it depends on what Spence was doing also.
Top Rank breached the 2018 agreement by failing to offer Crawford a second fight in the year of the 2018 agreement, alleges Crawford's legal team in the complaint. At all times during the 2018 agreement, Crawford was healthy and ready and willing and able to compete in professional boxing matches. So the complaint omits the three-month period where no stateside promoter ran boxing events due to the global pandemic. Also not included in the complaint was Crawford's own on-the-record claim that he would need to be better compensated beyond the contract guarantee if he were to fight without fans in the attendance. So, the racial bias thing, I agree. It's going to be hard to prove.
You're not going to prove it. There's no racial bias that he's going to be able to prove there. All the quotes listed in that article, and that we're talking about the Boxing Scene article,
which
are coming straight from the lawsuit, all those quotes, they're all about Crawford.
They're
not about black fighters.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be the defense. I mean, I'm you know, it's going to be hard. But once again, that's only one component to the case.
You know, and I tell you what, I don't know how much he's paying this lawyer to do this lawsuit, and I don't know what he's doing. I mean, whoever's advising this guy is really doing a terrible job. Because
I disagree.
Really? You would have sued him?
Yeah, I would have sued him.
You have no case. You have no case, son.
You just said that you believe he's going to win the 900.
No, I said he might. If the only thing in there, he has the chance to win, and that's real iffy. Is that 900,000? You think he can win a racial bias case?
I think he can win a lot of components to this case. That's one component of it. And do I think he can win the racial bias case? I honestly believe that there's evidence for it, yes. Because Bob Arum, if Bob Arum comes out and basically doesn't know how to promote, like he gives evidence to suggest that he doesn't know how to promote African-American fighters, because here's the thing. You have to ask yourself this question. Has Bob Arum lost money with other fighters?
Sure. Yeah, he's lost. We talked about it. He lost money with Tyson Fury.
Yeah. So he lost money on Tyson on probably the Otto Wallen fight because there's only 300,000 people in attendance, and there was only for the Tom Schwartz that one bombed. And here's the thing too. We had to hear from who's the guy on Bruce Trampler on Twitter that the Tyson Fury Deontay Wilder 2 fight, regardless of how much money it made, it lost money too. But you didn't hear Bob Arum come out and say anything about that.
Because
right?
There's a bigger upside there.
So
there's a
not
bigger upside. There's not a bigger upside to having Tyson Fury versus Terrence Crawford. There's a huge upside to having Tyson Fury because
not
that,
necessarily
as
if
the heavyweight champion goes, as a heavyweight champion, as much charisma as that guy has, he can sell a fight. He'll do a ton of interviews.
That is,
he can sell a fight, son.
But here's the problem. Here's the problem. Every time Bob Arum has gone public and talked bad about a fighter, and you can argue defamed a fighter, right? Because when you talk bad about your fighter when he's under contract, here's the thing. He came out and said all those things about Guillermo Rigondeaux while he was under contract, but he always conveniently does it towards the end. So now when Guillermo Rigondeaux leaves, he's hurting his chances moving forward to earn money. But Guillermo Rigondeaux, he said, you know, he talked bad about him, talked bad about Floyd, said Floyd was boring, said Floyd isn't the star he thinks he was. And then he came out and said, oh, I didn't know how to promote Floyd. So he knows how to promote all these other Hispanic fighters and these Eastern European fighters, and he conveniently finds ways to put them on, you know, during their ethnic holidays and this, that, and third, and he was, then he goes and says, oh well, I don't want, he wasn't going to make the Shakur Stevenson and Oscar Valdez fight, and said, oh, I want Stevenson to fight Lomachenko. Why is he going to fight Lomachenko? Lomachenko doesn't have a belt.
That's
so Stevenson, let me finish. Yeah. Stevenson, who just won the WBO 130-pound title. So he's got to move up to 135 to fight Lomachenko and not unify with Oscar Valdez. How conveniently now is Bob making the fight, you know, because this lawsuit came up. That was announced, I think, today, right? So this is my opinion. I think there's racial bias. And here's the thing. I'm racially biased. I prefer Asian women to any other woman. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm malicious.
Really,
I'm not malicious.
Biased,
I'm
though,
not,
is it?
That is being racially biased because I have a racial bias towards Asian women. I'm more attracted to them. So Bob Arum, I'm not saying he's doing this for malicious intent. I honestly believe that Bob Arum does not know how to promote black fighters as well as he knows how to promote Eastern European fighters, white fighters, and Hispanic fighters. Because when you watch the blueprint over there, oh, yeah, we're going to put Juanma on Puerto Rican Day Parade, Miguel Cotto, the weekend of the Puerto Rican Day Parade. We're going to put the Mexican fighters on with it. Like, they don't know how to promote black fighters over there. And, you know, oh, we promoted Bahavan Hagler, Thomas. Yeah, you never had long-term deals with those guys. And those guys were already champions before you started promoting them. And they were already studs before you started promoting them. And at that time you promoted those guys, you didn't have a De La Hoya, a Lomachenko, or a Manny Pacquiao. Or, you know, you didn't have an Oscar De La Hoya at that time, okay? So it was a different ball game back then, right? You had no choice. And then you come out and say, well, I blocked the Manny Pacquiao fight for Terrence Crawford. That's promotional malpractice right there. You're taking money off this guy's table. So I agree. It's going to be hard to prove it. But there could be an argument made for it. I mean, I see where Terrence Crawford's coming from. I gave you three examples. That's fine. Three examples, and all those fighters were black. I can't give you an example for a Hispanic fighter or a white fighter or an Eastern European fighter that he's went public and just said really some really horrible things, like really damaging, defamatory things.
Let me jump in here for a minute. Is PBC, would you consider PBC racially biased as well?
Do I consider them racially biased? No, I don't. Absolutely not.
Because they couldn't do anything with Terrence Crawford either. According to Tim Smith on the PBC podcast, they were not interested in Crawford. Because quite frankly, it's a capital issue.
They don't have the money to pay him.
Right. Right. But you know why? Because there's no return on him. That's the point.
I disagree.
You disagree? How could you disagree that if they don't have money to pay him, if we have to pay him X amount of dollars, then he's going to have a return. That's worth picking up. If he was all that, they would be jumping all over this guy.
They can't afford to pay him.
What's that tell you? They can't promote him either.
They can't afford to pay anyone right now.
Who can afford to pay Terrence Crawford then? If they can't afford to pay him, who can afford to pay him?
I told you what's going to happen to Terrence Crawford.
What's going to happen to him?
He's with MTK Global. He's going to go over and do what Crystal Shields did. He's going to sign a deal with Sky. He's going to work over in the UK with Boxer.
That's going to be a great move for him, yeah.
I think his next fight is going to be against Josh Taylor in the UK. They're going to sell out a stadium. They're going to do – listen, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Why every time a fighter leaves Barbera, they end up making more money?
I don't know if that's accurate. I mean, we have a couple of examples.
Oh, a couple?
Every time a fighter leaves Top Rank, you're saying
Oscar De La Hoya. Oscar De La Hoya.
De La Hoya started his own thing.
Miguel Cotto.
Started his own thing.
Mikey Garcia. Floyd Mayweather.
Is Mikey Garcia making more money now?
Yeah, he's making
Because he's fighting like once a year.
Made more money when he left. Bob Arum refused to pay him.
So he made more money by himself than he ever did under Top Rank.
Made more money.
All his fights.
He's made more money.
All right.
You see what the Zone paid him?
No.
You see what he made for Jesse Vargas? He got like $7 million. Ridiculous. Do you think that there's not money in boxing right now? Just because there's not money in U.S. boxing, this is the problem.
Money in boxing, but is there money in Crawford?
The mark. Yes, there is money in Crawford. Yes. They were saying the same thing about Floyd Mayweather when he was with Top Rank. Bob Arum said he is never going to be a superstar. Those are his words.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what to do with him.
Right. So how does that make him racially biased?
Because he does a better job with Hispanic fighters because he doesn't know how to promote black fighters.
Does that make him racially biased, though?
I believe he is.
It doesn't make him racially biased. Maybe it makes him inept.
No, I think he's racially biased towards Hispanic.
So if he could make a truckload of money off Terrence Crawford, you're just saying he's just not.
How did Floyd Mayweather
you
leave
don't think him? Let me ask you a
How
question.
Did Floyd Mayweather leave him?
Listen, Floyd's a different entity. Floyd's a different guy.
Yeah, but no one was – I remember when Floyd Mayweather was Top Rank. And I remember not only Bob Arum was saying it. Because of what Bob – this is the problem, Eric. When a promoter does not do his job properly and negatively – says things and puts his fighter in a negative light while he's under contract, guess what happened? Everyone was repeating what Bob Arum was saying, just like you are right now. Because these guys have an influence. When you come out and you're promoting a guy, I don't even care about the racial bias component about this thing.
Well, that's what the lawsuit's about.
No, it's not.
What's the lawsuit about?
Again, several things.
That's a component of the lawsuit, no?
Yes, it is.
All right, and you're saying you don't care about it? Is it going to get dismissed, though?
I don't care about that part of the contract. You know what I care about more than anything? That this guy was under contract. And while you were under contract with this guy, while I was under contract with you, right, you put out disparaging information about him, and you said things about him that could hurt him and negatively influence him with other promoters. You're taking food off the table. Another thing I didn't like is he blocked the Manny Pacquiao fight, and then he goes and says, I didn't want Manny Pacquiao to get hurt, right? Instead, what he really meant was, I have Manny Pacquiao on the contract. I don't want him to get beat up because I'm still trying to put the Mayweather rematch together, right?
Right, so then, because that's worth a lot more money now.
So then conveniently, when Manny Pacquiao leaves him, then he has no problem trying to put the Crawford fight together with Manny Pacquiao. Why? Because he's not with me anymore. I have nothing to invest in something. So Bob Arum, to me, has committed promotional malpractice with this man. I think he's done a horrible job with him. Oh, well, Terrence Crawford doesn't talk. He doesn't promote himself. Vasily Lomachenko can't even speak fucking English. How does he promote himself? What the fuck does he do to promote himself? But he's the greatest thing since sliced bread.
oh, he's the quickest guy to win three world titles in three different weight classes. He's got a higher power punch connect ratio than the great Roberto Duran. Like, this guy, Terrence Crawford, has scored 9 knockouts in a row, a champion in 3 different weight classes. Name another active champion today that has 9 knockouts in a row. His job is to fight. His job is not to promote himself. The promoter is supposed to promote himself. So I do believe that I don't think Bob Arum, I don't know for sure. I would not call Bob Arum a racist because I have no proof of that. I do think he's racially biased towards Hispanic and black fighters and non-black fighters because I, in my opinion, don't think he knows how to promote black fighters. So I think there is a subconscious bias towards the other ethnic groups because he knows how to promote them better. I'm not saying it's malicious intent against black people, that he doesn't like black people. I just don't think he knows how to promote black people. So I think there's a subconscious bias towards the other ethnic fighters on his roster. My opinion. I can't prove it. It's my opinion. Now, what I do believe...
they're not
going
to be able to prove it in court either.
Which is a very strong argument. Yeah. I can't say they can or they can't.
They won't.
But I do think, in my opinion, that he only has come out negatively while under contract against black fighters. It's on record. I've never seen him come out and say, Tyson Fury lost me the money I lost to Tyson Fury. I can buy a house. And then he's like, I don't give a fuck if I ever put this guy on pay-per-view again. Like, you're just saying these things. Like, these are defamatory things that you're saying while this guy's under contract. At the very least, in my opinion, this is promotional malpractice.
Listen, I don't
it's negligence.
What he said
it's
about
negligence.
Him. Right. I don't like what he said about him. And I don't think
– And I agree.
And I don't like what De La Hoya said about Garcia either. But that's neither here nor there. Now, if you take all of his quotes or whatever, yeah, it sounds pretty – it sucks. I mean, I wouldn't want to fight for him after that. And I don't blame Terrence Crawford for leaving. But that being said, I don't see any racial bias here. I see a bias against Terrence Crawford. But I, you know what I also don't see? I don't see people lining up to buy his pay-per-views. And he's on the biggest network on the planet, son. ESPN is the biggest sports network out there. Bottom line. You want to talk about Fox? That's an entertainment network. We're talking about the biggest sports platform on the world, and you cannot draw flies.
Who is selling pay-per-views right now in America?
Errol Spence is selling them. Tyson Fury, Wilder, they're selling them. Canelo's selling them.
Canelo just came back to pay-per-view. And
he sold
Tyson
a bunch,
Fury,
right?
Tyson Fury can only sell pay-per-views with Deontay Wilder. Who else has he sold pay-per-views with?
Well, I'm sure he's going to sell them with AJ. I'm sure he's going to sell them with Dillian White. I'm sure he's going to sell them with,
Why can't Terrence Crawford fight Josh Taylor in the U.K. in a stadium and sell out a stadium in the U.K.?
I'll tell you why, because he's not with Top Rank anymore. So good luck with it.
Why does he have to be with Top Rank to do that? With MTK Global, who also works with Boxer, who's a promotional company over there, who just signed Clarissa Shields. Clarissa Shields got a deal with Sky. Why can't Terrence Crawford go that route?
Well, go that route. Go that route, but stop accusing people of being racist and racially biased when you can't sell the pay-per-views also. Listen,
and
the promoter's got a shoulder. Let me finish. The promoter's got to shoulder some of this. There's no question about it. Promoter has to shoulder some of this. But listen, he's got to work with what you give him to. So if you're not if you're getting in trouble, you won't talk to your hometown news people. You won't give interviews in your hometown. You won't do any of this. What's that?
Who does Lomachenko talk to?
I imagine he does interviews in Kazakhstan or wherever he's from, right? Listen. Here's the other part. Let me read this real quick. Jesse Quesada, thank you so much. He said, PBC promotes black fighters more than any other race. Golden Boy promotes Latino fighters more than any other race. Every promotion does it to a degree, Bede.
It's fine. It's still, again, being racially biased is not the same thing as being racist. There's a difference.
I agree with
There's
that.
There's a difference.
I agree with that.
So here's the problem with your argument. It's your promoter's job to get you the fight. And if your promoter doesn't want to get you the fights or can't get you the fights, then they failed you.
as a fighter. All you have to do is go in there, train, box, and win the fight, which he's done. It's not his job to promote. The promoter promotes. That's why the promoter's job is called promoter and the boxer's job is called boxer. I don't blame him for anything because, again, Manny Pacquiao got the fights, right? Lomachenko got the fights. Tyson Fury, if he didn't get the Wilder fight, how many pay-per-view buys would Tyson Fury do fighting? How many people bought tickets to the Schwartz fight? How many people? He sold 3,000 tickets in the Otto Wallen fight, 3,000 tickets in the Schwartz fight. If Terrence Crawford doesn't have the opponents, he's not going to fucking sell pay-per-views. It's that simple. You're not going to sell pay-per-views.
Why are you yelling?
You're not going to sell pay-per-views because I'm passionate about it. You're not going to sell pay-per-views fighting Amir Khan and Cal Brook in America. It's not going to fucking happen. Come on.
Who's more popular, Lomachenko or Terrence Crawford?
I'd say they're probably equally the same.
Are they? Okay. Yeah. We'll give you, here it is. On Instagram, Terrence Crawford has 750,000 followers.
Mm-hmm.
Lomachenko has 2 million.
Okay.
Yeah.
In America, I would say they're equally popular. I think we could walk down the street right now and ask everyone who both guys are, no one would know.
2 million to 750. That should tell you everything you need to know about who's more popular.
Not in America, is Lomachenko more popular?
There's a world, not just America.
Okay.
There's a world.
Okay.
He's more popular. Ryan Garcia is probably more popular. Ryan Garcia is probably more popular than either one of them.
Who is?
Ryan Garcia is probably more popular than either one of them. He's probably more of a household name right now than either one of those.
With boxing fans or with
everybody? With everybody. It's not really about boxing fans. I mean, that's the same reason Floyd Mayweather won Dances with the Stars, not for boxing.
So how many pay-per-views would Ryan Garcia sell right now if he was to fight Isak Cruz on pay-per-view?
I have no idea. No idea. Probably as many as Tank did.
What would be your guess?
Probably as many as Tank did.
About 200,000, right?
No, less than that. Wouldn't it 150? Wasn't Tank was 150, wasn't it?
So let me ask you this. Has Lomachenko ever been on pay-per-view before?
I don't believe so, no.
He hasn't, right? But Terrence Crawford has.
Yeah. He's tanked all those pay-per-views.
Yes. But again, who'd he fight?
And he fought Sean Porter on pay-per-view, and he tanked that.
Okay, but how many pay-per-view buys did Sean Porter and Errol Spence do together?
I don't know.
Not very many. None of these guys are pay-per-view stars except for Canelo and Joshua. And Wilder, I think, but Wilder and Fury haven't proven to be pay-per-view stars unless they fight each other. So you're asking me about pay-per-view stars. There's only probably two pay-per-view stars right now currently in boxing. That's Canelo and AJ. Who else is a pay-per-view star? Nobody.
Spence versus Sean Porter tracking toward 350,000 pay-per-view buys. Spence versus Mikey Garcia, it looks like did 250,000 pay-per-view buys, which dwarf Terrence Crawford's pay-per-views by a long
shot. Once again.
In fact, they're doubled. What is Crawford's got, two pay-per-views?
Yep.
Postal and Porter.
Yep.
And one of those fights can't equal one of Crawford's or one of Spence's fights.
And who does a better job promoting pay-per-views for boxing, Fox or ESPN? I would say Fox. I think ESPN sucks at promoting boxing. I think they suck at promoting boxing. They promote MMA. And you know what? Those Wilder and Fury pay-per-views did so well. You know why? A lot of ads on Fox because Wilder's PBC. So in my honest opinion, name one pay-per-view on ESPN that did well. Not just Crawford. Anyone.
The Fury Wilder.
Yep.
Both the Fury Wilder
again,
did well.
But again, because that was from Fox. That had help. That had a lot of help from Fox.
What was the – okay, give me a pay-per-view that was just for ESPN.
I really can't. I mean, all I can give you is the Crawford fights.
Then that's not really a fair comparison, right?
So it's not a fair comparison.
There you go.
So we've never seen Crawford – on any other platform. So to just assume that because he didn't do well on with Top Rank and ESPN, because if we were to assume that, then Floyd never would have been a star, because as soon as Floyd left Top Rank, right,
mm-hmm.
he did 350,000 buys with Arturo Gatti, right? As soon as he left Top Rank and did a pay-per-view with De La Hoya, and then you could say, well, that was De La Hoya, but then he did 900,000 with Ricky Hatton. So again, it's not the fighter's fault. It's the promoter's fault. I don't blame Terrence Crawford for anything.
It's not. Listen, Terrence Crawford is a great fighter. I don't think anybody would argue that. He's a great fighter. He's a lousy personality.
I disagree.
He's a lousy personality.
What's wrong with
it? What's wrong with
him?
He can't sell a fight.
It's not his job to sell the fight. It's the promoter's. Like, what has the promoter done to help him?
To help himself? You want to talk about Floyd? Everybody wants to go back to Floyd and say, "Oh, Floyd." You know, when Floyd left,
Listen to my point first.
Everybody wants to say when Floyd left, Aaron, he blew up. Blah blah blah.
What did De La Hoya?
Nobody
Cotto.
Works harder than Floyd Mayweather. Period. On self promotion, nobody worked harder than him. De La Hoya was the same way. De La Hoya worked hard on self promotion. Miguel Cotto worked hard on self promotion. This guy doesn't work hard on self-promotion.
How do you know?
Because I don't see him anywhere. That's how I know.
He's on Joe Rogan. He goes on.
So there's a lot of other people you haven't heard of
on
Joe Rogan.
He goes on YouTube. He goes on other interview platforms. He's been on Max on Boxing. He's been on ESPN talk shows. What do you want this guy to do?
Self-fight. That's what they want him to do. And he's so inept, okay, at being a personality. Inept at being a personality.
You're giving Top Rank a pass.
PBC. I'm not giving Top Rank a pass because they're not racially biased. And they're going to prove it in court they're not racially biased. It's a stupid lawsuit.
So you don't think that they committed promotional malpractice? Do you think they promoted him well? Do you think they did a good job? Let me ask you this. Name another Top Rank fighter besides Tyson Fury that is selling pay per views. Like name one Top Rank fighter right now that isn't selling pay per views. Name one. Who's selling pay per views over there?
Nobody's selling pay per views.
Can Tyson Fury sell pay per views?
Tyson Fury.
Can he sell pay per views without Deontay Wilder?
Yeah, I imagine he can.
In America, can
yes.
he?
Yes.
Against who? Is Dillian White
Anthony Joshua? He can
not
sell
in America.
Come on.
Not in America.
Yes, he can.
No one knows who Anthony Joshua is in America.
Well, you know what? We don't know because that hasn't taken place.
It's not gonna do well over here.
You don't know that.
I bet my life on it.
It doesn't matter what you bet. It doesn't. You don't know.
I bet my life on it.
It doesn't matter.
I know the business. I know. I use empirical data. I use circumstantial evidence.
It doesn't matter.
Let me ask you a question.
If they put that through the Fox promotional and ESPN promotional machine, what do you think?
I'm going to destroy your argument.
Of course you will. Yeah, go ahead.
Destroy your argument right now.
Sure.
Where is that fight going to take place? In America or the UK?
Probably the UK.
Why?
Because they can pack a stadium in the UK.
Why would it take place in America?
Because they can pack a stadium in the UK.
Because both guys are more popular in the UK than they are in America.
So
that's why.
So what?
That fight would not do a lot of pay-per-view buys in America.
You don't find – let me ask you another question. You don't find the fact that PBC wouldn't pick up Terrence Crawford odd?
No, I don't.
PBC, who's got all the welterweights over there.
I don't.
It can make a ton of big fights, can't make money with him. You don't find that odd. Why?
I don't find it odd because I don't think PBC could afford to pay anyone big money right now. I don't think they could take on any star right now.
But don't you think that if PBC had a chance to get Canelo, they'd jump at it?
I don't think they can afford him.
The return on Canelo?
I don't think they can afford him. I just don't.
I don't know, man.
I don't think they can afford him. They're losing money hand over fist over there.
Here's what I predict was going to happen. The only thing he really has a possibility to wait, according to that lawsuit, is $900,000. That's really the only thing he has a chance to win here.
You don't know.
Well, you don't know about the pay-per-views either. We can play this game. We can play the guessing game.
There's a lot of – they won't – you know Tyson Fury.
You know the lawsuit. It doesn't have legs.
There's a lot of information in there that could hurt Bob Arum because Bob Arum has a big mouth. They're going to ask you, why did you block the Manny Pacquiao fight? That's a good look, saying that you're protecting one guy in your stable while hurting another guy financially. That's a good look.
It's not a good look. If you have a chance to make more money with another guy,
You could still make money with both guys. Why can't both guys get paid? That would have still been a big fight.
Jesse Quezada, thank you so much. He said Fury Gates blocked with Wallen and Schwartz. Yes, they did. I believe they did. Yeah.
Name one guy over at Top Rank that's a pay-per-view star. I don't think Fury's a pay-per-view star because he hasn't proven to do it with other fighters besides Wilder.
He's not a pay-per-view star.
Fury?
Yeah.
No.
Then who would you rather have? Then who would you rather have going forward, Fury or Crawford?
Right now?
Yeah.
Probably Fury because I could. He's not a
star. He can't draw money. What are you doing?
I could make money with him over in the UK.
Can't make money with Crawford over in the UK?
I think you can.
All right, then why would you take Fury over Crawford then?
Short term, I would take Fury. It's a tough question because.
Is it?
Because Fury's a little younger than Crawford. Crawford's 35. I would take Fury because I do think Fury's he's a bigger attraction.
He's a bigger attraction.
I agree. But I don't think he's a pay-per-view star.
You don't think he's a pay-per-view star? Then why would you take him? Crawford's been on pay-per-view. Right?
Okay.
All right. Yep. So they're both pay-per-view guys.
So
who made more on the pay-per-view?
I think Fury, the reason why I would take Fury is because he has more potential matchups down the road than Crawford does. Because I know Crawford.
Spence, all those guys over the PBC, you really think he has more options?
I do.
No,
I don't think he has more options. I think he has more money-making options than Crawford does. Because I don't think Spence will ever fight Crawford. I don't think Charlo will ever fight Crawford. I do think Usyk and Joshua will fight Fury.
You don't think if I put a ton of money in front of Crawford, in front of Charlo, he's not going to take Crawford? Charlo's afraid of Crawford?
I didn't say he was afraid of him. I don't think he would fight him.
Why?
I don't think they would allow him to fight him. Number one, and I don't think they allow him to fight him.
Forget all that. Whether they would or wouldn't.
Why wouldn't Spence fight Crawford then?
Money, I would imagine. I don't think Spence is afraid of him. Nacho brought up a good point. He says the fact that PBC paid Canelo $40 million, but they can't pay Crawford makes no sense. Danny Ramirez, thank you so much. He said right now Wilder versus Ruiz is a pay-per-view fight. I would go along with that. I think it's going to be a pay-per-view fight. How does that shake out?
Let me ask you a question. Do you think that PBC could afford to pay Canelo $40 million every fight right now?
I don't know. My answer is no. Could they pay $40 million each fight? $40 million is a lot. That was a unification fight.
I don't think they could do it.
That was a unification fight.
I don't think he could do it.
Does he demand $40 million every fight?
Yeah.
Then he's got to fight big guys. Could they shine him to a 3-fight deal? I think they could.
The problem you have with Crawford is these guys don't want to fight him. But that's not his fault. So if Crawford gets the big fights, then he becomes a star. That's how it works in boxing. You can have the biggest mouth in the world. You can be the most charismatic guy in the world, right? Ricardo Mayorga was a great personality. He was hilarious.
For sure.
He wasn't a pay-per-view star, right? So my opinion is I blame Top Rank first and foremost. I don't think Terrence Crawford has a bad personality. I don't think he's a bad person. I don't think he's an unlikable guy. I think he's got a great story. This is what I don't like about boxing.
What is his
story?
He's
got a great story. He's a family man. His dad was in the military.
But you know what I'm saying, though? By me saying, what's his story? Is his story why we heard the story? Why isn't it out there? Why, you know what I mean? Because that's,
you got to blame. Again, why wasn't Floyd's story out there? Because they don't know how to promote. This is the problem. They build stars over there. Why does everyone leave? Everyone leaves because they can. They know how to create. They know how to create and build prospects. They don't know how to maintain stars over there. Everyone leaves. They're not good for that. Everyone leaves and they leave disgruntled.
You're talking about a two-time undisputed champion. All the belts. All the belts.
Who's two-time undisputed champion?
Did Crawford?
No, one-time undisputed.
Junior welterweight. Okay, junior welterweight. That's right.
One
junior
time.
Welterweight. He's undisputed champion. And he can't do anything with that. Is that right? He can't.
He's got
he
a great. He's got a great.
I
don't think it's Bud's fault. I just don't blame him. I blame Top Rank. They are. They have a history of failing. They have a history of failing.
Of failing. What are you talking about? We agree. Let me just run this back here real quick.
You don't think
our,
they failed
on our January
think...
on our let me talk here on our January 1st show or whatever it was when we did the year in review.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of them were top rank fighters, and every promoter of the year, top rank fighter of the year was from top rank.
Yep.
Knockout of the year, top rank.
No,
fighter of the year
wasn't for top. Fighter of the year was Canelo, not top rank.
That's right. It was Jake Paul. Anyway, it was a landslide for top rank, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they failed.
No, I don't think it was a landslide for top rank. Tell me what it was. I don't remember all the things. I gave Eddie Hearn promoter of the year. I gave Canelo fighter of the year.
That we would have to look up. That we would have to look
fight
up.
Of the,
thought,
fight of the year. Fight of the year for me was Chocolatito Estrada. So no, it wasn't. I wasn't.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of a landslide though.
I told you that.
Let's go back and listen to it again because we.
Estrada,
I think we had top
Estrada,
on a lot
Estrada,
of these.
Estrada. Chocolatito fight was a DAZN card. My fighter of the year was Canelo. My fight of the year was a DAZN fight.
And you didn't take top rank for any of them?
No. Well, I don't know for any of them, but I took Jake Paul for knockout of the year. No, I didn't.
All right. I remember it differently.
I don't think there are any American pay-per-view stars right now, in my opinion. I don't think we have one except for Canelo. Canelo's not even American.
Canelo's not
but
even
he,
American, yeah.
Not even American, but he's an American-based fighter for the most part. He lives here, doesn't he?
He lives in San Diego.
He has homes here. He fights in America. I'm adopting Canelo. So Canelo is the only pay-per-view star here. Tyson Fury, you want to quote what PBC said about Crawford? You know what else they said about Fury? They said he can't sell. They said he can't sell without Wilder, and they pointed to his Schwartz and his Otto Wallen numbers, right? So as much as I love Tyson Fury, exactly. If Bud Crawford doesn't have the dance products to make him a star, and now he's a free agent, PBC doesn't want him. I don't think that's top rank's fault, and if PBC feels the way they feel, in my opinion, I'm just going to say this. In my opinion, this is what I think is going to happen, because I already talked to people in the UK, and they're already they said we would welcome him over here with open arms. We love Terrence Crawford. I think because him and Josh Taylor are both MTK Global fighters, right? Josh Taylor has the undisputed title at 140. If he goes to the WBO and asks them, can you make me a super champion? I want to go up to welterweight and fight Terrence Crawford, which they did with Usyk, which they did with Terrence Crawford when he fought Jeff Horn. So they have a track record of doing that, right? I think that they can make that a mandatory fight. And Bob Arum, he wouldn't block that fight. You know why? Because it would be over in the UK. He would still get his promotional cut from Josh Taylor, like he got a promotional cut from Teofimo Lopez when he went on the zone, right? I think Bob Arum would get out of the way. He'd let that fight take place, right? Terrence Crawford would have a huge pay-per-view. That I think Terrence Crawford versus Josh Taylor on Sky would do great numbers. I think that would be a can't miss. I think they would sell out a stadium
over
the
UK. I think it's a good move. I don't think it's going to happen.
I think it will happen.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Why would it not happen?
Because he's suing Top Rank, who's in partnership with MTK Global. He's not going
Top
forward unless he drops
Rank,
that
Top
lawsuit.
Rank is not in,
Top Rank is not in contract with MTK Global.
No,
MTK
I didn't say Global. They were in contract. They work together with MTK Global.
They don't work with MTK Global. No. MTK Global works with fighters. They don't work with promoters.
MTK Global works with ESPN, who was juiced in by?
MTK Global
Top
works
rank.
With one promoter. They work with Boxer.
They don't work with Top Rank at all. So they have no.
They work with
Top
Rank fighters. They work with Top Rank
ESPN. They work with Top Rank fight, right.
They work with Top Rank fighters.
There's
Some
no
of them.
Way.
Some of them.
Unless that lawsuit is dropped,
I disagree.
There is no way that fight comes off.
I disagree.
100%.
I disagree.
No way.
Because, again, once again,
they
Bob
will
Arum,
freeze him out
they can't
until that lawsuit is settled.
I disagree. Because, again, hear me out. They're both MTK Global fighters.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, right? Josh Taylor, like I said, could be elevated to super champion. Fight could be mandated. And not only that, Bob Arum, why would he block, why would he give, if Josh Taylor could make a lot of money fighting Terrence Crawford in the UK, right? And Bob Arum's not going to be part of, like, the fight's going to be over in the UK and Bob Arum's not going to be heavily involved in it, right? Why would he block the fight? Why would he block a chance to make money?
Who needs the money worse, him or Crawford?
I think everyone needs money.
Who needs it worse, him or Crawford? If you had to bet, who has more money in the bank?
Oh, Crawford. Top Rank.
Top Rank needs it a lot less than Crawford does, right? And he's suing them. There's no way that goes through. Unless that lawsuit is dropped.
I disagree.
Let's go to the phone real quick. Go ahead.
Because MTK Global works with both guys, and the fight would be it wouldn't be a Top Rank promoted card, Eric. It would be promoted in the UK by Boxer.
It's not.
It would be on
matter.
Sky.
It's not.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will.
Then again,
if it's a mandatory fight, Bob can't block it.
All right, 917, you're live.
Yo, it's Maestro, Eric.
Maestro,
what's good?
Yes. What's happening?
Look, I'm all the way siding with Joe. As I look at the snowdrop here in New York City outside my apartment, that was a surprise. Anyways, the fact is, a lot of people are a little bit confused as to what I think Crawford and his team are saying. When I first heard the reports, I heard racism. But one of the things he cited was racial bias. The other things he just cited were essentially his promoter acting in a very unprofessional way towards him in terms of the promotion of his career. Now, people could say, oh, well, he resigned. Well, I heard Joe make this point over the weekend. Yeah, he resigned, you know, hoping that by resigning, they would probably do a better job with him. And they didn't. And, yes, he did resign because they gave him that big guarantee. I mean, not a lot of people would turn down that kind of a guarantee. But they couldn't secure fights for him, the fight that he wanted, and the biggest one obviously being Errol Spence Jr. And while being unable to secure that fight for him, Bob Arum took to the stage and trashed his fighter. Now, he has done this in the past. He did it to Rigo. And, you know, I heard someone who I respect a lot, a guy who has another channel, saying, well, you know, all of this stuff he said about Rigo was true. The stuff he said about Crawford was true. That's fine. I mean, if I'm a defense attorney and I have a client that drinks a lot, it may be true that he drinks a lot, but if I'm running around telling everyone that he drinks a lot while I'm defending him on a DUI case, that's the malpractice. And I'm opening up myself to serious, serious lawsuits by trashing the man's name, regardless of if it's true or not. You are his client. You've got a job to do. Like you can't be trashing someone that you're supposed to be providing a professional service for. And that's what he's done. And you could make an argument if you're Crawford and his team that by trashing me, you have essentially, dwindled down my value as a professional fighter. You have made it more difficult now for me to market myself to other promoters. And quite frankly, who's signing Crawford right now? you know, not that many people. Why? Well, I lost all this money on him. I could have bought a house in Beverly Hills. Regal makes people vomit when I bring his name up. He's a boring fighter. Okay, maybe these things are true. The fact is you've got a contract with him. You can't be saying these type of things when you have a contract with someone to provide a professional service on their behalf. It's that simple. And to Joe's point, you know, the world is much bigger than the United States. MCK Global is a management company. They have JoJo Diaz under contract. He's a Golden Boy fighter. You know, they've got people under contract to fight for a lot of different promotions, you know, not just Top Rank, by the way. So, yeah, I mean, just because he says, F you to Top Rank, I'm suing Top Rank, that doesn't necessarily close the doors on him doing business with other people. I'll just leave it there for now.
They don't, but it's going to make it more difficult. And to your point about the lawsuit, I agree. Listen, I think it was – I hate when promoters come out against their talent. I just think it's uncalled for. I think you're supposed to be doing a job. You're supposed to be helping these guys. And, you know, a lot of times maybe they come out and lash out against the promoters first. You're supposed to be the bigger person here. You're the company, not them. I get that. But as far as – wouldn't a lawsuit be better if he claimed – bias, not racial bias? Wouldn't it have a better chance of succeeding?
I mean, again,
it's
going
to be hard to
pin
racial bias on Top Rank, yes?
Eric, I hear that, but that's only one of the things that he cites, and it's interesting to me that, look, we live in the era of identity politics. We live in the era of every issue in society is the result of race or transgender or you name the other buzz issue, but, you know, it doesn't discount the fact that there are other things going on. And in this case, the other thing that went on, and this is the major thing, if you actually read through all of the allegations, the man trashed his name while he was signed to them. He trashed his name. I mean, you cannot do that if you were contracted to be working with someone, and it's that simple.
Can I interrupt real quick, Maestro? I'm just going to ask you a hypothetical question.
Go for it.
If you had Terrence Crawford and you wanted the Manny Pacquiao fight, and you heard your promoter say, I blocked that fight because I didn't want Manny Pacquiao to get hurt, are you angry after hearing that if you're Terrence? Because what I'm trying to do, when I be objective, I try to put I'm putting myself in both people's shoes. If I'm in Bob Arum's shoes, I 100% am not talking about my fighter that way if he's under contract. I just wouldn't do it.
No.
Then I'm putting myself in Terrence Crawford's shoes. See? So I'm trying to really empathize with both people and look through the situation in each person's lens, right? If I'm Terrence Crawford and I hear that interview, right, and I hear him with Marcos Villegas saying those things, I would fucking flip out. I would say, I'd be like, shit. And then you could say, oh, okay, he can make more money with Manny Pacquiao. Can he really? Manny Pacquiao was on the way out. Terrence Crawford was on the come up. If he beats Manny Pacquiao, instantly he becomes a name, right? So this is what I'm trying to say to you. I understand your point of view. You have your opinion on Terrence Crawford. That's fine. I'm not here to change that. But first and foremost, in order for a fighter to become big, he needs a dance partner. That would have been step one in him becoming a name. So by my promoter saying, I blocked that fight because I was afraid he was going to get hurt, but you had no problem putting a 45-year-old George Foreman up against a 30-year-old or 29-year-old Michael Moore. You weren't concerned about George Foreman getting hurt at 45 years old?
Bro,
but you're concerned about Manny Pacquiao getting hurt?
Joe, check this. I've been to so many cards at the Garden. You know what happens on those cards at the Garden before you get to the TV portion of it? Even sometimes when you do get to the TV portion of it, some overmatched, undersized dude with a losing record is getting blasted the hell out by some young prospect. Well, where was the concern for safety for those guys? What was it?
And then so conveniently, when Manny Pacquiao was no longer under Top Rank contract, Then he had no problem making the Crawford fight then when it was too late, right? So, I mean, how would you feel if you were Terrence Crawford, though, and your promoter said that during an interview? Would you? How would you feel? Would you be angry, Eric?
I'd be furious.
So
if I was Ryan Garcia, I'd be furious. If I was Terrence Crawford, I'd be furious. Yeah,
so let me say this. So I agree the racial bias is going to be hard to prove. In my opinion, I think there is a racial bias, not because of malicious intent, but because of just not – because I believe there's a racial bias because of ignorance. I don't think he knows how to promote black fighters. I just don't. I don't think he does it. I don't think he does a good job promoting black
Let's
fighters.
Move past the racial thing because
Bro,
I think we're going to disagree
he's
on
admitted
no, no, no,
it.
The racial,
he's admitted
the
it
The racial
himself.
Thing is going to be is going to be open to interpretation. I think there's a lot of other things in that lawsuit that Crawford has base on. I think he can prove that this guy, he was negligent in promoting me. I do think he could say, and here's the thing too, if you lost money with him and he was such a bad investment, right? Then why did you re-sign him? Why didn't you release him? Why did you keep promoting him? Everyone says, well, why did Crawford re-sign with him? Because he got paid. He got great money. And he thought moving forward that he would get the fight. He was led to believe that Bob Arum would get him the fights that he needed. He thought he was going to get the Spence fight. He thought he was going to get the Pacquiao fight. And guess what? He fought guys like Cavaluskas, fought guys like friggin' Amir Khan, past his prime, Kell Brook, past his prime. What else? Who else, Maestro?
Jose Benavidez Jr.
Jose Benavidez. How are you going to become a star fighting those guys? First, Kell Brook is a UK guy. Amir Khan's a UK guy, right? Cavaluskas is another non-American, right? Well, I'm not saying that to be disparaging to non-American fighters, but they're just not – those aren't the names you're going to build a guy on. They failed him as a promotional company because they did not get him the fights he needed for him to become big.
Okay, so let me ask you this. He's suing for $10 million.
You won't get that.
No. Maestro. Does he win that lawsuit?
We don't
Let's
know that.
Sit down to brass tacks here.
We don't know that.
I'm asking you. I'm asking you.
I think it's. I'm not going to say it's impossible. Listen, if I'm sitting on that jury, and they start playing me interviews where he's trashing the dude and saying that he's blocking fights, and then someone starts showing me the kind of money that fighters can make in big fights, I'm sitting there on that jury. I may not be the most knowledgeable boxing person. Let's just say I'm Joe Public. Right? And they're starting to throw figures out there, how much fighters make and major pay-per-views, and then showing me video evidence, literally video evidence of a promoter trashing his own fighter and blocking a major fight that fighter could be engaged in. I don't know that I'm not in a civil case siding with Terrence Crawford.
Do I think he wins every piece of a lawsuit? No.
How many pieces are there?
There's negligence. There's breach. And what else is there, Maestro? There's like three or four things in
Bro,
there.
Bro, those are the two main ones. Those are the two main ones.
Right.
He breached. He didn't promote him. He didn't promote him when he made
breached,
those statements.
He breached on the 900,000. That was the breach.
And then there's negligence.
And then there's racial bias is all I'm saying here.
Bias. But you know what the thing is, Eric?
Negligence on what?
He didn't promote
negligence
him.
Negligence on him trashing him
that's
publicly.
That's the 900,000.
I mean,
that's the 900,000.
That's part of it. The 900,000
is 900,000 for the Crawford or the Spencer.
You know, because he was promised a fight and he didn't get it.
Right.
But then his comments that is the negligence part of the lawsuit, because you're basically – you're not promoting him. You're being negligent in your job of promoting him.
See, I was wondering for years why Rigo didn't sue Top Rank. But at the end of the day, Rigo's from a different culture. This is the USA, baby. This is litigation central. This is a place where you seek retribution in court.
Headline,
you know what I mean?
The headline is going to be racial bias, right? So because of that, everyone's forgetting about all the other things that Top Rank did
that were, I feel, were wrong.
But that's the suit, though. The suit is the breach of contract for the $900,000 and racial bias. Also,
and it says negligence as well.
Yep.
Again, negligence. What's the price on the negligence?
I just explained it to you.
I'm asking you, what is the price on the negligence?
Well, that's what
they
I'm saying. When they start showing numbers.
Everything is $10,000. When you do a lawsuit, they don't do little like prices for each thing. He's suing for $10 million. And that $900,000 is what they're saying he lost on that one fight that he could have got, whatever. So he could get out of that $10 million, he could get $3 million. You don't break it down like that when you do a lawsuit. It's collective money. You can't say, well, you win this part, and we're going to get this amount for this specific. That's not how it works. You ask me if he's going to win the lawsuit? Yes. If he only gets $900,000, that's a win, in my opinion.
If
he gets $1 million, that's a win.
I don't want a jury to go anywhere near this trial. Not at all.
No.
I don't want a jury of working people that have been effed over for years by their bosses to get any even a sniff of the evidence over here. Because like I said,
really,
if you're working Joe.
Really?
I
think you might be better off in a jury trial. Can I tell you why? Because are they going to be $30,000 to $40,000 a year? They're sitting there listening to this case about this guy crying the blues about how he made $6 million and $3 million and this and that and all these
millions, and then they're gonna hear stories about where he came from and his tough childhood and how he's trying to live out the American dream. Where this promoter that makes money off the backs of fighters is out there trashing the dude.
He's
a millionaire now and he has millions.
Okay, and what does Bob Arum have? And
he's got millions too.
He has hundreds of millions.
And the guys listening to this, they don't have millions.
Okay.
So you'd have a hard time. You'd be hard pressed.
It's still the story of the big corporation putting their knee in the neck of the worker.
Or the little guy making X amount of
millions. Yeah, the little guy.
Okay.
The little guy making X amount of millions.
Who earned those millions? He earned those millions.
We all earn our money.
How much of those millions does he keep? You only know what the
well,
gross
that's part
is.
Of his job. He's got to pay people. He's got to pay taxes.
Just because these guys, like again, these fighters, they just get exploited, bro. I defend the fighter always, unless they do something egregious. I defend the fighter. I'm not going to defend the promoter.
I defend logic. I don't know. I mean, I'm different, maybe. I don't know.
You're defending Bob Arum?
I mean,
I'm defending logic. You said a jury trial. I'm telling you, the jury is not going to side with this guy. The jury is going to look at
this
dude.
Let me ask you this, Eric.
Say,
let me ask you this, Eric. Are you
about making $3 to $5 million a fight? Come on, man.
Are you okay?
Really?
Are you okay? Are you okay with the comments that Bob Arum has made about Regal and about Crawford?
No, I'm not.
Well, then you should.
How much do you think he
would have
made if he got the Spence fight and the Pacquiao fight, though? How much was left on the table?
The Spence fight? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
How much do you think he would have got for the Pacquiao fight?
What do you think? Maybe 10 for the Spence fight?
I think he would have gotten at least 7 or 8 for the Spence fight.
Yeah,
I think he would have got about 10 for the Pacquiao fight. But see,
I don't know that he would have got 10. About yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Guys,
If he's getting 6 to fight Sean Porter, you don't think he's getting 10?
All right, Maestro, we'll talk to you, man. Thanks so much for calling. We appreciate it.
Hold up, Eric. I got to get running because I got to get to my manscaped in before the start of the week. You know what I mean? So
nice.
I need everyone to do what I did. They got to pick up that performance pack. You know, they got to use the code Ringside Reporter, get that free shipping, get that 20% off. I got to get to manscaping, so I'll see you guys later.
All right, my man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, he got $6 million to fight Porter. I think he would have gotten at least 10 to Pacquiao.
Right. Nobody's crying the blues for Terrence Crawford. Nobody's crying the blues for this guy. You know, he's the little guy? Really? He's the little guy. Stop it. Stop.
Well, he was not promoted properly.
The little guy.
You think
so
Bob
anybody Arum who makes $6 million ain't the little guy, son.
Did Bob Arum do a good job promoting him?
He's getting him $6 million? Yeah, probably. If somebody gave you $6 million, did they do a good job promoting you? Yeah, I can't argue with $6 million.
Not if I could have got 10.
Yeah, well, hey, you know, start promoting yourself.
You think Bob Arum did a good job promoting Terrence Crawford? Yes or no?
If he's getting him $6 million a fight, he's getting him $6 million? Yeah.
You think Bob Arum got him the fights he needed to make him become a star?
Did he get him? No, because he needed the Spence fight to become a star.
Do you think Bob Arum failed him as a promoter? Yes or no?
From a monetary standpoint, no. From a star standpoint, yes.
Okay.
I think that's what I think.
I think he did.
Because I think from a star standpoint, it does take two to tango. Promoter's got to shoulder some, but you also got to have a personality.
He didn't get him the matchups.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
So he failed as a promoter.
Yeah, but how much money did he make?
But he won.
Did you really say he failed as a promoter when he's a millionaire? A multi-millionaire?
But he won every fight and got nine. He's
nine. Give me Terrence Crawford problems all day long. Give me Terrence Crawford's problems all day. Let me be the little guy. If
Eric's
the little guy,
Eric,
let me be the little guy.
Eric, here's the thing, Eric. You got to look at the lifestyle, the family, like, you got to look at what he's doing for a living. Like, he should be paid for what he's doing. Like, if you
social
are
teachers and soldiers and doctors,
okay,
and everybody else, but nobody is
if
packing the
fighter,
arenas to watch a teacher teach or a doctor do surgery.
I agree.
This is
agree.
What he chose, just like it's what they chose.
I agree. But if you are a world-class fighter, right,
mm-hmm,
you're a three-division world champion.
Hold on. Go ahead. Let me finish your point, and I'm going to address this.
You're a three-division world champion. You're an undisputed champion. You're a Hall of Fame, world-class, elite fighter.
Mm-hmm.
Then you should get paid like an elite, world-class.
$6 million's not elite? For 48 minutes of work?
He did not get the Spence fight or the Pacquiao fight.
But he got paid. $6 million for 48 minutes.
Okay.
Where are you going to get that at?
Bob Arum promised.
Will your eye
Bob Arum, Bob
ever
Arum
see that
also,
money? No.
Bob Arum promised him the Pacquiao fight and the Spence fight, and he didn't deliver.
No. But he delivered on a lot of other fights.
But
and he made a lot of money.
But you don't understand.
So why is he crying?
Why is Bob Arum crying that he's lost money on him?
Because he's being sued.
He didn't start talking shit about Crawford before he was being sued? Come on, Eric.
No, he did. He did.
So you don't kind of think this is warranted a little bit if Arum's going to do what he did? You don't think if you were Crawford, you wouldn't do what you're doing right now?
Okay, first of all, Robbie just texted me and said a 12-round fight is 36 minutes. Actually, it is 48 minutes because you're counting the rest time in between. You count the minute afterwards. That's 48 minutes, Robert. Thank you.
48 minutes.
Suck it.
Yeah, it's fine. All right, who said it was
Robert.
48?
Robert's texting me. You know, he does this little famous text to trying to correct everybody. Mel says it's not all about the money, Eric. Bro, it's all about the money, and that's all it is.
Eric,
why do you think these guys get in the ring?
But Eric, you know what the thing? That would be like someone like you and I complain about work sometimes, right?
Yeah, we could complain about it all the time. Yeah, sure.
So that would be like a guy like who works, with all due respect, I'm not saying this is bad. So that then if like a guy who works at McDonald's sees us complaining about work, then they're going to turn around and say, well, these guys are making such and such. Look what I make. Why are they complaining? So everyone has different brackets, economic brackets. So if he's making $6 million and he should be making $10 million, I mean, he's got an argument there. He should be paid for what, you know, for his worth.
If he feels as though he's not getting what he was promised, then why doesn't he have a right to complain about that?
I'm just saying, you're not going to get a whole lot of sympathy out of me when you're making that much money. And you're not going to get any sympathy out of the average person when you're making that much money. 508, Georgie, you're live.
Hey, yo, what's happening, people?
Georgie.
Yo, yo. He's going to be good. Yo, check this out, Eric. If they happen to pick me or any other hardcore fans, I'm not even a hardcore, I'm semi-hardcore fan of boxing, and that motherfucker sit there in the jury and hear about how fucking, didn't he fucking Crawford became a champion with Bob, became undisputed with Bob, became champion again another division with Bob, the highest paid welterweight in the fucking world, highest paid.
It's hard to say he didn't do right by him, yeah. It's tough.
And now my man is a racist piece of shit who fucked me my whole career. Brother, you must be ridiculous stupid that any single fucking any person going to sympathize with that shit. One jury out of the 12 who happened to know a little bit of boxing, he's fucked. Okay, get the fuck out of here with your crying ass fucking victim millionaire shit. Now, let's go with this fucking ridiculous that fucking maestro talking about. What was his fucking low IQ shit? He said the truth about fucking Regal. Even when I defend Regal at the time, guess what? Bob was right. So what they're going to say? Oh, but you're supposed to represent it. So what, you want me to lie on the dude? That will be the counter-argument, and I'm lying. No, you're not lying. Okay, so what the fuck you talking about? You're supposed to represent it by truth. You don't supposed to represent him by lying. Let's get that straight. Truth matter, court. And the truth is, yeah, Regal was boring, and time proved him right. Ruiz, he fought AJ. Bro, what you think about him? He's a lazy fat fuck. Rematch came. What happened? Ruiz was a lazy fat fuck. He was right again. So, well, these examples, they're not examples. How could you say these are examples, baby? Go ahead, baby.
You're a corporate sellout. You're a corporate sellout. You probably love Nike paying those people over in fucking Thailand fucking 13 cents a day, you corporate sellout. I'm a blue collar man. I vote for the I'm for the worker. Top Rank would not
Baby,
exist without
logic.
Without
Come on,
fighters.
Napa, let's go with the Regal shit. Let's
Top
let,
Rank
let's go
Top
one
Rank
at a time.
Bob Arum's never gotten a ring and took Bob Arum's. You and Eric are corporate sellouts, man. You're a bunch of corporate shills. Both of you.
That's the report. Okay, what would you say on court to defend Crawford? I'm asking you specifically about Regal. Was he right or not? And don't you have to represent your client by talking the truth?
I did not find Regal an entertaining fighter.
Well,
all
you
the
didn't
time,
you
so,
on tape when I lost my balance against Eric. You on tape saying, "Yeah, man, he turned out to be boring." Do I got to pull that? You suffer from amnesia.
But if,
you suffer
ask
from
me this
fucking
question.
Amnesia. I got to remember this shit.
Ask me this question. If I'm promoting Rigo and Rigo is part of my company, would I say that publicly? No. Would you, Eric?
No, I would not. Absolutely not.
That's malpractice.
Anybody, and you know what?
What
this goes
what,
for like,
what
you know,
would be my practice
we practice this too,
true.
Babe. I mean,
I don't,
what would
there's
be
a lot
my
of things,
practice
there's a lot of things
true.
That I don't like. There was a lot of things in my life, in my career working, that I didn't like about companies I worked for. There's a lot of things I didn't like about the bosses that I worked for. There's a lot of things I didn't like about the employees I worked with when I was a manager. I didn't go to meetings. I didn't go to events and speak poorly about anyone that I worked with because that's not – it's bad etiquette. It's bad. It's unprofessional. So what Bob Arum did.
It is illegal. The question is if it is illegal. If it is illegal to say the truth.
If I'm. If,
well,
if
it could be
I'm
negligent
on,
to do that.
It's negligence. can we agree that Bob Arum, there's a case for Bob Arum committing negligence here?
Yeah, oh, absolutely we can.
There is a case, absolutely.
The racial bias thing, the racial bias thing is going to be very hard to prove. I don't think he'll win that. Honestly, I don't think he'll win that part of the case. I think he's got a strong case for the negligence, and I think he's got a case for the breach of contract. I don't believe he'll win the racial bias.
Now listen,
I don't believe he'll win the racial bias component of the case. I agree with you there. Now, do I do agree that there could be racial bias, but I don't think it's with malicious intent, and I don't think
it's not going to be proven. It's
not going to be proven.
Yeah,
I agree. I don't think he's going to win that component of it. When you ask me if he's going to win the case, yes, I think he'll win some components of the case. Yes.
He won't get the $10 million he's asking for.
He won't get the $10
million. But he won't even get $1 million that he's asking for.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know either. It's just all speculation
on our part. Tim Witherspoon, and no one thought he was going to win. He got $3 million. And that was the first time John King ever lost.
At the end, Obishek's going to get paid out of court.
I think Crawford will get a million. I'll be honest with you, my prediction.
Yeah.
I think Crawford will get a million.
You know what I think? I think they settle out of court. Here's where I agree with you.
Yep.
Okay? I think they're going to settle out of court.
That's what I think.
And I think in return, he's going to get the Josh Taylor fight.
And he's going to have to do like a non- I still think he can get – I don't think he's going to get
any money from that lawsuit.
No,
I think is going to happen is that he gets that Josh Taylor fight if he drops the lawsuit. And that Josh Taylor fight is going to be worth a lot more than that lawsuit.
They're going to
settle
for
money
and
he'll get the Josh Taylor fight. I believe.
Nobody going to know what Crawford going to get. We're not going to know if he get a million, he get two, he get his 900,000. We're not going to know. It's going to be undisclosed. That's what's going to happen here.
I think it'll be dropped.
No, I don't think it's going to be dropped.
Yeah. All right, Georgie, we're going to get running. 443, you're live.
Troy.
How you doing? It's Troy from Baltimore, man.
Troy.
Hello.
Hi, Troy.
What's the word, Troy?
Hi, Troy.
Yeah, I want to talk about Joe Smith.
All right.
Can you hear me?
Good change of pace, trust me. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, that's what the title of the show is about, so I'm going to just stick with the title of the show, man.
There you go.
I've always said that out of the three top guys up here at 175, right, he should be the last one that anybody wants to fight. And then people are like, oh, you're crazy. But all of them are very – the first two are polished guys. You know, they work on a certain rhythm. Joe is instinctive, so you really don't know sometimes what punch is coming. But when the punch does come, he is a big puncher, and he can take you up out of there. And he punches in bunches as well. He's not on a rhythm. He's just instinctive. So, you know, even if he means to throw – let's say he means to throw a hook sometime. He might throw a right hand. It's just an instinct. I would love if they could all get together, man, and just get and just have one champion up there, 175. I think that'll be great for that that you know weight class. And I would love if Benavidez goes up there because that's where he needs to be. He does not need to be at 168 killing himself. Where he can't make the weight. He needs to be up there. But if I was him, I would leave Joe Smith for last. I would not take him on first. When he came on our show, Major Key, you know, I asked him about that. He said if he moved to 175, he would want to fight Joe Smith. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, that's not the first dude you want to fight, man.
David Benavidez? Who said that? David Benavidez?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But, you know, what do you have to do?
Well, I was telling Eric that I think Joe Smith matches up very well against Beterbiev because I think Joe Smith is a better inside fighter than Beterbiev, and Beterbiev is more of a mid-range guy, and Beterbiev doesn't fight as fast a pace as Joe Smith, and plus Joe Smith tucks his chin. He keeps his hands up high. He's pretty solid defensively, and he takes such a good shot because he's in such great condition. So I think Joe Smith matches up very well against Beterbiev, and I think Joe Smith could beat Beterbiev.
my opinion.
Yeah, if he he just has to break his rhythm. He has to break his rhythm. Once he throws off his rhythm, because most of those, you know, Eastern European guys, like Usyk, they fight on rhythm. 1, 2, 3, 2, 3. They fight on a rhythm. Once they throw you off your timing and all that, that's when they kill you. But if you throw them off theirs, they don't have an answer for that. What about the other guy that's up there?
Bivol?
Yes.
Now, Bivol's already beat Joe Smith.
Yeah,
so,
he beat his jaw, didn't he?
Pretty handily.
Beat him cleanly.
Did he break his jaw?
No.
Did he break his
jaw? What's his name broke his jaw? Sullivan Barrera, I think, broke his jaw.
Barrera's the top guy,
okay,
too.
Sullivan Barrera broke his jaw.
I didn't see that fight. How did that fight go with Bivol? It wasn't a wash, right? Was it a back and forth, or was it a really washed him?
Yeah, it was pretty.
I mean, Joe Smith brought it, but Bivol, he beat him by a wide margin.
And where's he from?
He's an Eastern European fighter.
He looks kind of Asian, doesn't he?
Russian?
Like the
Siberia or something? Where's he from?
I thought he was from Kazakhstan.
Okay.
I think
he's
from Kazakhstan.
Too,
I think
right?
He's
in that
where,
area, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's kind of big too, isn't he? He's a big guy, right?
Yeah, he's tall. Man.
Tall guy.
Tall is what I mean. So, like I said, man, if we could get a nice tournament up there and all of them come together, man, and give us one champion, that'll probably motivate like a guy like Canelo to come to 175 and have that one fight, because then he could say he's the second man in history to ever be undisputed at two weight classes, if that happens. But if he has to go through all of them, he's not coming to 175. That's too much work, and all of them could punch. Every last one that I mentioned can punch. But if you get one champion, there's a chance he might come up there. So if anybody out at 175 pounds is listening that can make something happen, think about what I just said. Get all the belts, get undisputed. That's how you get them. That's how you get the money to come up there. All right. So y'all have a good night, man. All right.
All right, Troy. Thanks for calling.
First time he's called and he didn't insult me. He always insults me.
All right, let's get moving here. Shakur Stevenson versus Oscar Valdez is apparently close to being signed for April 30th. Pretty ironic, huh?
you knew
as soon as that lawsuit got filed, that guy was going to get a high-profile fight, didn't you?
all of a sudden, you know, Shakur doesn't have to fight Lomachenko now. Now he can get – and Valdez isn't going to fight Navarrete.
Yeah, right?
How convenient now, right?
You know, Tramp Lomachenko,
Hey, I'm telling you, Terrence Crawford's shaking things up over there, bro.
So let me ask you a question here. All right, yeah. So I'm hearing a lot of chatter. I know you've heard it too. I've heard it from our source, our mutual source from Tijuana. Canelo could fight a celebrity next. Is this what, you know, like a celebrity fight?
He's going to be fighting a celebrity match, I heard. Next.
Michael Benson has said the same thing. Our source is pretty good. You don't think it's one of the Pauls, do you?
I don't think so.
Oh my God! Like that would
be our source told us last week, right?
Yeah, we heard this last week.
Everyone thinks we're full of shit, but our source has been coming.
Our source, let me tell you what. As far as Canelo goes, as far as all the Mexicans go, he's always. Always on target. Always on target.
Fighting a celebrity guy.
So I hope that, you know, and obviously there's always room to move and everything like that. Hopefully it's not true. Hopefully he pivots from that and actually fights a real guy. He was supposed to fight, what was his name?
Makabu.
Yeah, he was supposed to fight that dude, you know? Would you rather – I don't know if I'd rather see him fight that or some kind of celebrity. I don't know.
I'd rather see him fight. Well, you weren't crazy about the McAvoy fight, were you?
I was not. I'm not even even a little bit, but I'm even less crazy about a celebrity fight.
Yeah.
Speaking of celebrity fights, Floyd Mayweather is going to be fighting some exhibitions, according to him, this year. According to the 20-year-old Money Kicks, his real name is Rashad Belhaza. The negotiations with Mayweather are nearing an agreement for an 8-round bout on the helipad at the Burj Dubai Hotel, the Burj Arab Jumeirah Hotel in Dubai. It used to be called the Burj Dubai, I think. I don't know.
That's crazy.
I don't even know who this guy is. I don't know who Money Kicks is. I don't think he's ever fought before. I've seen pictures of him. I don't think he's ever fought before.
What's he look like? Is he a formidable guy? Or
no,
like?
No. Just real skinny, real – just looks like an average – dude, does it
like Robbie?
Yeah, a lot like Robert. Yeah, I'd rather see Floyd fight Robert. You know,
that's funny.
Yeah, I don't know, man. So more Floyd nonsense to look forward to. Raleigh Romero, the allegations are now closed. A month-long investigation into allegations of sexual assault has concluded, with no charges to be filed against Raleigh Romero. Accusations, of course, were made last October by Isabel Zambrano. She accused him of sexual assault from a September 2020 encounter in the boxer's North Las Vegas apartment.
Now, you and I disagreed on this, but you did make some good points about it. If you're a Showtime, you are caught between a rock and a hard place here.
It's tough to move forward if you're Showtime, yeah.
But the problem is the inconsistency. But Showtime never – like HBO put that Floyd fight on when he was being charged for domestic abuse. It wasn't Showtime.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing with Tank, when he was on video doing that, no charges were brought. There wasn't a case. So I don't think we can look at Showtime as being inconsistent here because they – you know, like I said, there's been no case where a fighter – under their banner was accused of something like this and they were able to fight. Like I know the whole Floyd situation, like I said, was an HBO thing and people like to point at that Tank thing. And even the whole thing with Sergey Kovalev, with his charges that were against him. Once again, he was, you know, HBO don't give a fuck. They'll put you on as long as you don't. But Showtime.
There's a difference between Floyd Mayweather and Tank Davis and Raleigh Romero.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, man, it's going to be about the money. You know, I mean, it just is.
Yeah, and then this girl, I guess there was a rumor that this girl came out and said that they bribed her to drop the lawsuit. I don't know, man.
Listen, it is what it is, man. Mel says, Money Kicks is a teenage boy, son of a billionaire. He is popular on Instagram, inviting people like J-Lo and Fat Joe, whoever that is, and Kim K to their house in Dubai. There you go.
Wow. How come I wasn't invited?
I don't know. Oh, you're not Fat Joe, are you?
No.
You would not be Fat Joe. I would not. I would not.
You know who Fat Joe is?
Fat Joe. I do not. I do not. Who's Fat Joe?
He's a great rapper.
Is he? Is he like Tupac?
No, he's not Tupac.
He said he's better than Tupac.
Not,
you like him better?
Tupac,
that's crazy.
No, he's not Tupac.
Ah, shut up.